The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Wednesday, February 19th, the year of our Lord, as some people say. Excited to be here. Excited to talk NFL with you. Very excited to talk NFL with my man, Pete Prisco. Pete, what's up, buddy?
What's going on? We've talked
some
National Football
League. Combine is coming up soon.
Yeah, next week. Can you believe it? It never ends.
It never does. And then right after the combine will be free agency. And all the while, XFL will still be going on. We'll have Cody Benjamin on after the break to talk the week two of the XFL. I found it very exciting. I'm playing some XFL DFS, getting into that. I'm really neck deep in this DFS stuff. I probably need to pull back a little bit. May or may not have done
it. You're playing DFS. XFL DFS?
It's fun. And there's good, if you read up on the stuff and you sort of watch the games, you can get an advantage pretty easily, I think.
The guy has one lucky basketball night, and now he's a DFS legend. Is that?
Pretty much. Yeah.
He's also just a pure NBA expert, even gambling.
That's right. Is he? Really? I didn't know that.
I mean, not really. But I mean, like, I'm more aware.
When the Knicks won their title in 1970, who was on that team?
The what?
You're an NBA expert. I'm going to ask you. When the Knicks won their title in 1969-70, who was on that team?
Walt Frazier, obviously.
Very good. I didn't think you'd even pull that one.
Let's see. Okay, who's the guy who got hurt and then had to come back in?
Very good. Willis Reed.
Which famous coach was a player on that team?
Yeah. Who was a player? Which coach?
Phil Jackson.
Okay.
That's good.
What do you want me? What do you want
that's,
me?
That's very good.
NBA.
How about the? How about who'd they beat in that finals?
Oh God.
Come on.
70? I'll say the Trailblazers.
No, they beat the Lakers.
Lakers. That was my other guess. I was thinking it was a trick question.
No, the Trailblazers later in the 70s with Bill Walton.
With Bill Walton, yeah.
And who are the other four? Can you name the other four? That's a good trivia question.
Is that pre-Drexler? Yeah, because Drexler was a 5-7 jam.
Maurice Lucas.
Lionel Hollins.
Lionel Hollins, who's a Sun Devil. Johnny Davis was the other guard, one of the first guys ever to wear Nikes. Nobody will believe that, but that's true. And Bobby Gross was this other.
Would now be a good time to point out that Devo's like, you have to keep this tight with Pete because he's got to get out of here. Devo's like, so ask about the 70s Knicks.
Yeah, because you're an NBA expert now. I want to make sure. You tweet about everything and anything, so you're an expert on everything. I wanted to see. I give you credit for Walt Frazier and Willis Reed. I didn't think you would get that.
Can you name two of the starters on the Golden State Warriors right now?
Yeah. Draymond Green. And Wiggins.
Oh, good call. Nice call, Wiggins. Wiggins actually playing really well since he got traded. Anyway, let's talk NFL. Two pieces of news popped up related to your top 100 free agent list. Drew Brees returning in 2020. He posted on Instagram. He was standing, Pete, on top of a hill, maybe pointing out that he was ahead of or above hill. On a depth chart, Taysom Hill, maybe. My feelings about the 2020 season. It was a picture of like a blue ocean or something. I look forward to the grind, the journey for the reward at the end, and the reward at the end will be worth it. Love you. Hashtag Who Dat Nation. Let's make another run at it. Drew Brees just turned 41. I'll ask you this. Do the Saints want him back?
Yeah, they want him back. Are you serious? Who would they play with?
Taysom Hill, I was told, was a franchise quarterback for two or three days in February on Twitter.
Yeah, it's unbelievable what happened on Twitter.
It's so stupid.
And you know me. I've actually had conversations with Sean Payton about using Taysom Hill. It infuriates me. And nice kid. We had him on at the Super Bowl. Great kid. But that's not a franchise quarterback.
Right.
He's just not. And to try and – I remember standing on the sidelines at their practice last summer watching Taysom Hill, and I was talking with Bobby Hebert. And we were both wondering if he can be the – heir apparent, and I don't know if he can.
It would, I think that if, well, I mean, it's irrelevant now, I guess, because Breeze is coming back, but, how do you, what kind of deal do you think that the Saints will do here? Because they can't, I don't believe that they could just give him like a 1 year, $25 million contract. I think they got to do some dummy years, et cetera.
Some dummy years. They can make it, whatever way you want to make it look, they can make it look.
But you can't push too much into the future because of the new CBA.
Right. But they can get creative with the contract. He'll be fine. It's not an issue. He will be the starting quarterback for the Saints. He should be the starting quarterback for the Saints, and they should be thrilled he's the starting quarterback for the Saints.
And it does – I mean, look, Breeze has come around from a very – it's like you know Tom Condon a long time. He has always had the stance that his clients are going to be paid at the top of the market, regardless of age, performance, whatever, Eli Manning. And but Breeze, it feels like he's willing to take a little bit of a discount. He made it clear he was either, it was either New Orleans or bust. He wasn't going to try and, you know, leverage it for a free agency thing. 1 to 2 years left. What do you think? 1, 2?
I think he's one of those guys that's pushing toward going to spend more time with his kids. That's my feeling. That's why I thought he might walk away this year. You heard rumblings about the Monday night booth. And I heard that from people that know him. And now that ship might sail. And I'm not saying he could never be that guy, but what happens if they do make a change? And we don't know if they are, but they hire that guy and he stays. Then that job's not open suddenly.
Like they hire Greg Olsen or something.
Right. Yeah. So, look, I like seeing great players play. So I'm happy he's back in there and it makes all the sense in the world for the Saints to be happy he's back.
If I were Breeze, I would definitely make one more run at it. I mean, I know he missed some time last year with that thumb injury. But he was very good down the stretch, and the Saints had a legitimate shot at winning the Super Bowl. So why not give it one more run? The problem for them is they probably won't have the bridge at quarterback, the pun intended. Actually, no pun intended, but it was there anyway. Teddy Bridgewater.
Where's he going, by the way? Just out of curiosity. I keep hearing, somebody, I think it was Jeremy Fowler of ESPN.
It's our pal Jeremy Fowler.
$30 million a year? There's not a chance in hell he's getting $30 million a year.
None. Sure.
And here's the other issue. Where's he going? Give me three teams.
New England.
What if Brady goes back?
Carolina and Los Angeles.
Okay. Is he better than, let's just say Brady goes back to New England.
I don't think he would go to New England if Tom Brady's there.
So where's he going?
Like, Tom Brady has to leave for him to go to
New England. Los Angeles. You talk about the Chargers.
Yeah.
Okay, what if they're all in on drafting Justin Herbert and playing him as their quarterback?
Then his market...
No market. There's no real market for Bridgewater.
His market could dry up very quickly.
And somebody said Tampa. He's not better than Jameis Winston.
Also, Teddy Bridgewater is not the quarterback you would pair with.
No, he doesn't drive the ball down the field like that. He's not better than Jameis Winston.
Far in Tampa. I don't get that.
Look, I love Teddy. I think Teddy's one of the great stories. He's a great kid. But let's be real. If Cam Newton's healthy in Carolina, is he better than Cam Newton?
No chance.
Is he better than Tom Brady? No. Is he better than Jameis Winston? No.
No.
And so if you're the Chargers,
than Jameis Winston.
Right. If you're the Chargers and that's your possibility, but if they're going to move with a rookie quarterback, and a guy they think could be the franchise quarterback, they're not going to pay Teddy Bridgewater.
No, if they're going with Herbert and they have Tyrod Taylor, they'll just go with that.
Right. They're not
going
to pay. So where everybody keeps throwing this out there, but where is the market for Teddy Bridgewater?
I mean, he can get $22 million a year.
Where? Right? Where?
Miami?
He turned them down last year, remember? They got to draft a guy named Fitzpatrick. He's not – you're going to get rid of Fitzpatrick? No, the way he played last year.
I mean, like, this is one of those things – I'm not trying to source guess on Jeremy Fowler here, but I mean, like, it ain't coming from a team out there who's trying to give him $30 million. It's coming from Teddy Bridgewater's side, right? It's coming from his agents who are pushing that number. You know, we've heard similar things for lots of free agent quarterbacks. We're like, oh, this market's going to be crazy. He's going to get $30 million a year. It's like, that's not happening. But then it softens the blow when he gets $22
million. Okay.
Like, he'll get Nick Foles money.
From who?
Somebody will give it to him.
I don't see it. I don't see where he can get it from.
If all the quarterbacks end up going back to the place that they were slated to stay or where they've been.
Okay, let me play this out. Okay. Brady goes to the Chargers.
Where do you think Brady will go to?
Let's say Brady went to the Chargers. We're going to put it in there for the argument.
Okay.
I think Belichick goes out and gets Andy Dalton.
Okay.
So that eliminates the Patriots. Cam comes back. He's healthy enough. The Panthers got him for $19 million. You're not going to get rid of him to go sign Teddy Bridgewater for $23, $24 million a year.
No, not.
Okay? So that eliminates them. Tampa, he doesn't fit, A, and they have Jameis, who's better. So that doesn't work. Tannehill goes back to Tennessee.
Indianapolis.
I mean, that's a possibility, but how much better? What about Rivers in Indy?
They'd probably rather have Rivers.
Right? Okay, so Rivers goes to Indy.
Yeah.
Now where's he going?
Chicago?
On a $22, $23 million. So you're the GM who traded up to go get Trubisky. You're going to admit your mistake and go sign Teddy Bridgewater.
He signed Mike Glennon before.
But you're going to go sign Teddy Bridgewater to a $23 million contract and say, okay, Teddy, come in and compete with the guy I traded up to go draft. No way. So where's he going?
Who's Teddy's agent?
Keep going. Keep going. I want you to keep going because you have nothing. Just like anybody else. I just want to see where he can go.
Where else? New Orleans.
Go back. It might be his best option. You know, you laugh. It might be his best option. Sure. I'll be honest with you. I would take Teddy Bridgewater before I would take Taysom Hill as my starting quarterback.
Oh, and Sean Payton showed us that last year by starting him five straight games.
Correct. Again, the point is, there aren't a lot of options out there for Teddy Bridgewater, and it takes two teams to drive up a price.
Drew Brees coming back is a big domino. It's sort of an even though he was always going to be with the Saints or bust, him coming back is a big domino in this quarterback market.
Well, because it takes Teddy Bridgewater and puts him on the market.
Right. But I mean, like, it puts Bridgewater out there, but it also, like, I mean, I'm not saying Brady was going to New Orleans, but, you know, River, I mean, like, I think Sean Payton would have had interest in these guys.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. Sean's so stubborn when it comes to Taysom Hill. He thinks he's the next, you know, great quarterback. I don't believe it. Let's put it this way. 1 week, and this was a couple years ago before he even started him using him that much, and I asked him, and he compared him to Romo.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I don't see it.
All right, so he loves Taysom Hill, so maybe he just keeps incorporating
Again, him. We're going to ask this question for the next month. Where is Teddy Bridgewater's market?
You love Teddy Bridgewater. Maybe you'll sign in Jacksonville.
No, I love Teddy. Teddy's one of my all-time favorite guys I've ever dealt with in this league. He is a class act and a great kid. But the reality is $30 million a year is just laughable. $25 million a year might be laughable. But then again, somebody paid Nick Foles. Oh, wait, we can't say anything about Nick Foles in this room.
Yeah, Debo has a Nick Foles fat boy.
And he'll start crying, too. We don't want to see him cry anymore. He cried over a football game. Can't cry over a football game.
I forgot you made fun of him for crying.
Oh, yeah.
DJ Humphreys.
He's biting his tongue over here because I'm mocking him.
Now, every single day I see Pete, it's a constant reminder of the Eagles Super Bowl, which is a good thing, but it's also a constant reminder of tears.
Right. You cried.
It's okay to cry. I cried when
I would do it again.
I would cry when ASU wins the national championship, but I cry more when they lose their first game every year because then they're out of it.
I will 100% cry if NC State wins the national title in football and basketball.
No, I'm not.
Herm's up in the air.
I don't think I'd be crying. I'll be honest with you.
If Herm gets one in like 3 years.
And I'm sitting at the 50-yard line?
Yeah.
I'm not crying. I'll be happy. I'm not crying.
You might get like a little emotional.
I'll get emotional and I'll be, you know, screaming and yelling and everything else, but I'm not going to cry.
Well, screaming and yelling is different.
I'm not crying over a football game. I'll be honest with you.
I think if I had enough to drink and I was like, you know, courtside.
I love you, NC State. Yeah, I can see it.
Yeah, something like that.
See, ASU had a chance a couple years ago to actually do something in basketball, but they're the only team in the country that stopped James Harden. They stopped himself.
Yeah, former NC State coach Herb Sindek.
Yeah, he played like a slowdown game, and James Harden won the great shooter back then, and they stunk in the tournament and lost to Syracuse, who played the zone with Eric Dievendorf. Remember Eric Dievendorf?
Yeah, you can shut down the Princeton offense by playing. Why are we talking about basketball?
I don't know, because we're talking about crying over teams.
DJ Humphreys signed a deal. DJ Humphreys, $45 million over 3 years. That number 41 player on your free agent
list. That irritated me because I already put the list in, so I wasn't going to take him out now that he signed. Look, he's – people still
slow developing player. But
he's played well for them, and they like him, and he's a good, solid left tackle. He's not a great player. He's a good, solid left tackle. And when you get a rising player, you try and do everything you can to keep him. Draft, develop, pay. That's the secret to being a good football team in the NFL.
Well, and let's not forget that I don't think it hurts if you're Steve Keim and everybody in Arizona, and you can point out to your boss who maybe, you know, I mean, job's been a little toasty. You know, Josh Rosen, not the greatest draft pick, but Kyler Murray looked good. And you'd be like, hey, look, 2015 first round pick. Huh? Yeah, a little good draft class. You signed David Johnson. You didn't win that great. It just, I think it just helps to be able to say, our first round pick, you know, it took him a little while to develop, but it's working out, boss.
That team's going to be sneaky good next year, I think.
I agree.
I think they're going to be sneaky good.
What do you think about Kyler Murray 30-1 to win MVP?
Oh, that can be that. Not going to be that good. Like, you think they could be the Ravens good? They're not going to be that good.
I mean, they could win 10 games and take down the division.
Ooh. 10? I was thinking more like 9, 8, something there. But
yeah, you get
anything happens. They played tough. They played those teams tough this year. They're not bad. They're a pretty good team. And he's going to be a good quarterback. And some of those young players are growing up. I think they're a team to watch. And Kingsbury is a better coach than he got credit for when he took the job. Like,
I think if you look at the recent draft, like Keim has gotten a bunch of crap for his recent drafts because he, you know, they had that stretch where it was like, you had
Kim Dichie was a disaster.
But like, you know, you have Buda Baker who's developing.
He's a good player. He's a really good player.
Yeah. Chase Edmonds, fourth round pick 2 years ago. Christian Kirk is a player. You know, Rosen you traded, but you got to pick back for him at least. And then it enabled you to take Kyler Murray.
You know, Reddick hasn't been what they thought he was yet. And that's a little bit of a concern. But Hassan Reddick.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you could develop. The dagger is Reddick was taken one pick after this guy named Patrick Mahomes. Not sure if you heard of him.
Yeah. And then, absolutely, I heard of him because he was my top quarterback, remember? Got one right considering all the wrongs I've had. Here's the other thing about the Cardinals is when you look at that roster, youth is starting to take over, and that's something you always want to see.
Yeah. When you have a quarterback in place, you have a lot of young talent there. You know that Keim and that front office is good about supplementing with veterans. Maybe they can go out and you know, if it all comes together. And look, Kingsbury was talking about this the other day, Cliff Kingsbury was, how Kyler Murray's like, you know, just trying to stay afloat. So was Cliff Kingsbury. He became a much better coach as the year went on.
I agree. And I think he's going to be a good coach. You know, people don't realize this about Kingsbury. You know, they give him the Playboy stuff, the, you know, good looking guy and all that.
I know.
He's the first guy in and the last guy out. He works his butt off. He's one of those guys. He's a grinder. So, yeah.
Let's talk about your free agent list. You do it every year. Although last year we didn't know if you were definitely going to do it.
Well, I didn't do – this is the first time I think I've done 100.
You've done 100 before.
Have I? I thought it was 50. I thought it was 50.
There was buzz you were going to do 7 this year.
7?
Top 7 free agents.
Why?
Just kidding. Seven, just a list of 7 guys. But no, you did 100 is a ton.
It's a lot.
I got to tell you, Pete, A, it's a good list. Got a little beef with a couple, and I'll mention these. But B, this is a really good free agency
class. It's a great free agency class. I mean, and I'm not a free agent guy normally. And when I do look at free agents, I look at that target age of 26 because that's what I want my guys to be 26, 27. That's it. I don't want to pay the older guy usually. But this is a great list of 26 and 27 year olds. It really is.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, you think back just a couple of years ago, and I know he's a lot older, but, Jason Pierre-Paul was a top 5 or 10 free agent on most lists, and he's 61 on your list. Jimmy
and he played well last year, Jason Pierre-Paul.
I mean, 231 year olds, but I mean, and Emmanuel Sanders too is old, but 64 there. Marcus Mariota, I mean, a former number 2 overall pick is 65th on the list. Kenyon Drake, guys like this down at the bottom, Von Bell. I mean, there's a lot of talent out there. Brashad Breeland, who played well, I thought, down the stretch. Vic Beasley led the league in sacks 1 year, 79th on this list. Andrews Pete.
Yeah.
He'd be a really good player
once he stops eating, he's going to be good.
Yeah, get him out of New Orleans.
I never forget. I was there in training camp, and they were talking about how big he was.
If I lived in New Orleans, I would weigh 40 pounds more than I weigh right now.
Yeah. And
all that fish, like covered in delicious sauces. Oh, man.
Not to mention Bourbon Street.
Yeah. You get hammered on Bourbon Street 3 nights.
And then you go get a Lucky Dog at the casino.
Yeah.
Tell me you've never eaten a Lucky Dog.
I actually have never eaten a Lucky Dog.
You've never been, you have a buzz, you go eat the Lucky Dog. It's the only time you eat it.
I've been drunk in that casino at Harrah's. I mean,
yeah, I have too. But you go eat a Lucky Dog. It's right there in the casino.
I have to check it out next time in New Orleans.
You eat it and then eat it about 12 more times when you're sleeping.
Delightful thought. Delightful work. Medium there. To note about the timing. Dak Prescott, your number one player on here. No surprise, and probably no surprise to that he won't end up being a free agent. Like I don't think anybody expects him to make it out there, right?
No, he's going to get tagged. Here's the thing, and I say this in the story, he's not better right now than some of those guys behind him. But the value in terms of where he is as his age and everything makes him the number one free agent on the market in my mind.
Like if you were a GM. And you were signing, let's a franchise that didn't exist, and you don't have a quarterback. You would sign Dak Prescott before you signed Drew Brees, Tom Brady, or Phillip Rivers.
For the long term, absolutely.
Correct. Yeah.
No doubt. No question about it.
Brady number four, Brees number three. He's obviously not a free agent. Well, he is technically
a free agent.
He hadn't signed. He just said he's coming back.
Right.
Rivers number six. I got a little beef here. You mentioned age. AJ Green five, Amari Cooper seven. You take Green over Amari Cooper.
I would. Where was Amari Cooper in the big games? I mean, Debo's an Eagles fan. Did you see him in the Eagles game in the final game of the season? In that game that they had to win? Where was he?
The first one, not the second one.
Right. He was a no-show. And you look at his numbers on the road, they're significantly worse than at home. That's always a concern. So yeah, I would take AJ Green over. Hey, now, AJ Green's healthy. I think he sat out the season. I think he could have played in normal year. He plays, as a free agent. He sits out. AJ Green's better than Amari Cooper.
All right. By the way, home for Amari Cooper, 52 catches, 869 yards, 5 touchdowns, 6.5 catches per game. On the road, 27 catches, 320 yards, 3 touchdowns, 3.4 catches per game. Very bizarre splits.
It's weird. I mean, disappeared in big games on the road.
And they had some tough weather games down the stretch, but that makes you wonder about that. And like I said on our show, yesterday, I pointed out, I mean, he's also been, the Raiders have dumped him and now the Cowboys are kind of wishy-washy on signing him, but at the age of 25, that's a concern for me.
Of course.
Okay. Where do you think, or how would you rank and where do you think the quarterbacks, end up going next year? Drew, Dak, Brady, Rivers.
Drew Brees is going back. We know that.
Well, so who rank those in order and then.
And where they're going?
Just for next year.
For next year?
Yeah. So, like, you're just.
Well, you don't know where they're playing. So it's hard. Like, where are they playing? Where are they playing? That's going to matter.
Well, then you tell me. You tell me.
Okay. Brees is going back to New Orleans, so that's why he's where he is. Okay. He'd be the top of the list. Brady, I still think he's going back to New England. He'd be second on my list. Dak would probably be third, going back to the Cowboys with Mike McCarthy, if he gets in there and learns the offense. And Rivers would probably be fourth.
And Rivers,
I think he's going to the Colts.
Who wins more games, Rivers with the Patriots in 2020? Rivers with the Patriots or Brady with the Chargers?
Rivers with the Patriots.
I agree. I feel like Rivers can be.
I don't
good.
Think there's much of a difference in what they did last year between Rivers and Brady.
Yeah, Rivers threw more interceptions.
Rivers threw more interceptions, but a lot of it had to do with the offensive line.
Any chance you would take Tannehill over any of those guys?
Hell no.
Ooh.
Zero.
So what should the Titans do with Tannehill?
One or the other with Henry, and one will get franchise tag and one will get transition tag if they don't get deal done with him.
Did you think about ranking Derrick Henry above Ryan Tannehill?
No.
You at least thought about it?
I thought about it.
Henry is 21. Tannehill is 21, excuse me. And then Joe Tooney, 22. A little low for me. Jack Conklin.
Where did 22. He go to school, Joe Tooney?
NC State.
There you go.
And then Derrick Henry, 25. You also on this list have Jameis Winston, 11. Sandwiched between Jadeveon Clowney and Byron Jones. I mean, again, like these are big name defensive players out there. Shaq Barrett, Chris Harris. What would you do if you were the Buccaneers with Jameis Winston?
I'd tag him. I'd start with the Foles deal, add $1 million or $2 million a year, and if he didn't take it, I'd tag him.
So you tag him and they'd be like, here's what we'll give you.
Right. I mean, I'd say, let's work this out. Here's my deal. 3 year. I'm not going to give you the 5 year mega deal. I'll give you the three for what Foles was 21, 22 last year. I'll give you three for 20. I'll give you three for 23.5. And if you don't take it, then I'm going to tag you. That's what I would do.
Right.
Second year in that offense is always big for the quarterback, A. And I think Winston has talent. He just throws, he's got to learn how to check the ball down. His line was bad last year. I thought the right tackle was terrible.
Can they, could you see Rivers going to Tampa Bay?
Does he drive the ball down the field, though, the way they want to? I don't know. I think Winston.
Does anybody drive the ball down the field the way that
Winston does, and that's why he should stay there.
Okay. What defensive player, do you think Kyle Van Noy will have a good market?
Off the ball linebacker. He did rush the passer better last year. No, I think it'll be an average market.
Okay. My theory is that there are a bunch of these teams that are run by ex-Patriots people like the Titans and the Lions, the Texans. And so he'll have a bigger market because they're teams that feel comfortable with him
those positions don't get paid that much, though.
Right.
I mean, like, there's some good, like, I'll give you one. Kwiatkowski from the Bears. You could probably get him for a decent deal to play inside linebacker. He did a nice job when he stepped in last year.
Yep.
And that's the kind of guy. He's good on special teams. That's the kind of guy that you want to look at. Blake Martinez makes a ton of tackles, but he makes them way downfield. But somebody's going to pay him, too.
Does Chris Jones get tagged?
He better. They'd be crazy not to.
Crazy not to tag him, right?
They're crazy not to tag him. His dad on the sideline at the playoff game, and I told his dad, I said, look, if they tag your kid, don't let the agent talk you out of signing that. And he looked at me and I said, you might not think it's a lot of money. It's generational money right in your pocket. And then next contract will be generational money. Let him talk you into leaving that money sitting out and sitting on it somewhere in the organization's pocket. You got to take that money. Go play.
Yeah, get it guaranteed. Fully, you sign it. It's fully guaranteed.
Take the money. There's nothing else in life that you can go get that money for a year. Go get the money. You only have so many earning years in your body. And he was hurt last year at the end of last year. He should have learned a valuable lesson from that.
And he's young enough too, where like, even if he suffered an injury and missed the last six games of the season, he'd still get crazy paid in free agency.
Yeah, he is a dominant player, and I think at times he's not as good as he will be, and that's scary. He can really – you saw it in the Super Bowl. He can impact the game by pushing that pocket.
I mean, he's the one who – I think he's the one who flipped the game in the fourth quarter. I mean, obviously Mahomes, but, like, he shut down the 49ers offense. All right, if you could pick one non-Chris Jones defensive player to sign on your list, who would it be? Like, what would you – who do you think can make – not necessarily the highest ranked guy for you, but who makes the biggest impact on the defense?
Well, that's tough. I mean, I think Clowney's going to get way overpaid. I think
who signs him? Does he finally go to Miami
maybe.
Now?
Maybe Shaq Barrett's going to. You don't know if he's a one-hit wonder or not. I'll tell you who. Justin Simmons is the guy I would sign.
Mm. You have Justin Simmons ranked 15th. Safety, of course.
Athletic safety could cover a lot of ground. Excuse me, in a league where you need that, and he's a rising player. I want a rising. If I'm going to give a guy a 5-year deal, I want him to be 25, 26, 27 years old.
What do you think about Yannick Ngakoue out there? Yannick Ngakoue at what he'll command, or Jadeveon Clowney at what he'll command?
Clowney plays the run significantly better, and Ngakoue is a better pass rusher.
Right. So who would you go with?
I'd probably go with Ngakoue. I think Ngakoue's miscast in Jacksonville's off defense. He's a lighter defensive end, probably only weighs 240 pounds at times, and he's not great against the run. Excuse me. And that's why the Jaguars pinged him on the contract talks. Coughlin just berated the agent supposedly about not being able to play the run. You're not paying that guy to play the run. You're paying that guy to rush the passer. I would stand him up. On one
Rick Coughlin yelled at his agent about.
Well,
not
he didn't
playing.
Yell at him, but you know it was one of the negotiations.
He's just like, we can't give you that money. You can't play the run.
Exactly, that's what I heard. And so you got Ngakoue on one side, you got Josh Allen on the other. Stand them both up. Play. You know, nobody plays 4-3-3-4 anymore because there's not seven guys on the field. It's six.
Just have them roaming nickel. Around and let them cross up and put them on the same side.
Do you realize Josh Allen sometimes didn't play other than about half the snaps in games? That should never happen. You got to figure out how those two can be on the field at the same time. I'd stand them both up, much like the Broncos do with Von Miller and Chubb when Chubb is healthy. That's what I would do with those two. So, yeah, I think I'd bring them back. They'll tag them. I heard they will tag him. They're going to, you know, people will look at their salary cap situation and say, oh my God, they have no money. Because they're up against it. They have the most committed numbers of anybody. I think it's over $200 million right now, but they're going to clear out. Boye's going, Jake Ryan's going, Swain's going, you know, Darius is contract. He'll be on this list, but he's not there yet. They're going to clear out, you know, with a blink of the eye, they'll go clear out Marquise Lee. They'll clear out $40 million quickly.
What do you think about the trade Dave Gettleman made for Leonard Williams in the middle of the season?
It's weird if you're not going to bring him back.
I mean, are they going to tag him? Like,
I wouldn't tag him. Leonard Williams is a great enigma because he's a great player as a defensive player, but he doesn't rush the passer that well.
He's a great player who doesn't like really make an impact.
Correct.
Like, he soaks up blocks, but I mean, not like anybody can do that. But I mean,
correct.
Yeah, I mean, it is weird. He's really young still. He was only like 21 when he came out of the draft. How much would you give him in free agency?
That's a tough negotiation because he doesn't rush the passer.
Yeah.
You know what there is? There's a lot of good defensive tackles in this class. A lot of them. And you know, some of them are just run stuffer, like Michael Pierce, run stuffer. You know, A'shaun Robinson, run stuffer. You get a lot of those guys. DJ Reader is one of those guys that's going to get paid. Javon Hargrave is another one. I mean, there's a lot of big-bodied guys that are going to get good contracts in this free agency.
Who is somebody on this list where when they sign like it'll be slightly under market, but fans will be like, oh, it's a little bit more than I thought it would be. You'll be like, that's a good value signing. Who's a sneaky good value signing?
Hargrave or Reader? Both.
Okay. Harris?
Shelby Harris, another one. And he probably won't get the money those guys get, but he's another one. I think, you know, those are the kind of guys that when you supplement your team, you put those guys in, you need those big bodies in the middle of your line. And I think those are three guys right there. I think they're going to be, people are going to go, oh wow, that's a lot of money for them, but they're good players.
There's actually some decent offensive linemen out there. Yeah. Like we mentioned Pete before.
Scherf is.
Like if I was a team that was trying to be, I mean, like if you're the Seahawks, I know this is just, I'm just sort of spinning this off the top of my head, but like, why don't you just go make it rain with Scherf and Joe Tooney?
I would.
And then like you have two elite guys on the interior.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't sign two of them. I'd sign one of them. You should be able to find
one of them. But I mean, like those are like Scherf can be an all pro guard when he's healthy.
I think when you look at the way they are as a team, they need to get help on the offensive line. I mean, Costanzo's out there. Balaga's out there.
Yeah.
There are linemen out there. Now there's some talk that Costanzo might retire. So we'll see, but I think when you look at the linemen, you can get guys that can step in and help your team, no question.
Yeah, you've got. I mean, I know he hadn't wasn't that great.
Connor McGovern. I mean,
Darrell Williams, who at least has played well at various points.
Yeah, and position versatility. Glasgow, you know, Graham Glasgow from the Lions can play center and guard.
Yep,
I think that matters. So there are.
Don't forget about Debo's boy, Big V.
He's out there too. You know,
Palavati Vaitai. Did I get that right?
Halaputi Vati Vaitai.
Yeah, he's out there too. Jason Peters is out there.
He's 38, and you have him 46.
Yeah,
but Jason Peters seems high.
He can still play.
You think so?
Yes, I do. When he's healthy, the problem is he's not always healthy.
Halaputi Vati Vaitai. That's not 100% right.
He's the right age. Yeah. He's the right age, and he can play left and right tackle. So
you worried about the Eagles' offensive line, Debo?
No, we got Andre Dillard, last year's first-round pick, probably going to slide in at left tackle. Lane Johnson will be back and healthy. Best right guard in football, Brandon Brooks. I think Jason Kelce will be back. There's been rumors about him retiring. No concern about the line.
Peter, are you worried about the Eagles' offensive line? Did you wave at me to say bye-bye?
Somebody waved to me. No, I do not. I do not worry about their line. They'll be fine.
Hey, you know what? What do you think about – we floated this idea on the podcast yesterday, I think. But what do you think about the Patriots going out, say, bring back Tom Brady, and then in free agency they sign Austin Hooper and Hunter Henry?
Both of them?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think they're going to be able to afford both of them.
Okay.
I think those are two – or maybe you go – how about this one? You go get Hunter Henry and Eric Ebron.
That's not bad. Who would you rather have, Henry or Hooper?
Henry.
Yeah, me too.
Henry's a better player, but Hooper's, you know, been on the field more. So don't forget, Eifert's around. You know, people left Tyler Eifert. I didn't put him on the list, but he had 46 catches last year and played all 16 games.
And you know what people don't, I don't think, talk about enough either is like, so for instance, if I were a team and I was interested in Brandon Scherff, the fact that he was like semi-healthy for Washington would make him more attractive to me, because Washington, like if you play for the Chargers and you're hurt, like Hunter Henry, or you play for the Redskins, like Brandon Scherff, and you can't stay healthy, I don't know that's necessarily a player problem so much as it is an organizational problem.
By the way, when you look at some of these offensive linemen, particularly the guards, they were tackles at one point. So when you look at the draft going forward, look at the tackles who can't play tackle, move them inside. Scherff was a college tackle. People forget that.
Yep. All right, Pete, that's your top 100 list.
Yeah.
Thanks as always.
Dive in, pick it apart, scream at me, yell at me, and I'm a big boy. I can handle it.
And you can go, you can watch Pete talk about it on CBS Sports HQ. Coming up after the break, we'll talk to Cody Benjamin about the XFL. Thanks, Pete.
You got it.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives, you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Hey. I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SMOOTH at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SMOOTH. Enjoy.
All right, time to talk some XFL. To do that, joining us on the horn, the phone, the Skype machine, whatever you want to call it, Cody Benjamin, CBS Sports NFL/XFL writer. Is that what's the how heavy is your XFL workload at this point?
100%? Well, that's no. You're correct. I actually, before I got the invite to come on here, I thought, I'm pumped to be on the Pick Six podcast with you, but I thought, I never would have imagined, that the one thing that would get me on here would be covering the XFL. I mean, a few years ago, obviously, this thing didn't even exist. So, I guess you could say it's split between that, and it's kind of, with the NFL being in the off season right now, obviously free agency and stuff will be ramping up pretty soon. But right now it's been fun just to kind of, dive into the XFL. And the cool thing about power rankings and everything is that literally no one has any idea about these teams, and so you've got a pretty good shot of kind of looking pretty good.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And like, there's a lot less, you're not going to have like the Eagles at 32 preseason and they win the Super Bowl or something, like there's a lot less variance, and after 2 weeks it does. All right, let me ask you this. Does it feel like after 2 weeks that we're seeing some separation in terms of the top and bottom teams? Because to me, obviously my DC Defenders, the team, and I, by the way, I adopted the Orlando Apollos and they won the AAF championship. So DC Defenders should be excited that I'm a DC Defenders guy now. They're allowing less than 10 points a game, and you can sort of see, it seems to me like you can sort of see some differences between, how these, like the top and the bottom are shaken out, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, absolutely. I know. I mean, 2 weeks is a small sample size, but then again, this is a 10-week season we're talking about with a very abbreviated playoff picture. So yeah, I think it's easy to pick out some teams that are separating themselves, and I'm sure we'll get into it, but I think the biggest reason for that is the quarterbacks. And we see that there's a big gap kind of between the top quarterbacks and the bottom tier quarterbacks. And if you have one of those better ones, you're probably one of the better teams. And that includes the DC Defenders. In fact, I mean, going into this, just because it's such a crapshoot really to figure out who of these guys is actually going to play well. You know, going into it, I think it was easy to see that DC, if you just looked at the rosters, they had, you know, easily among the most NFL caliber, or at least recognizable names. And so going into the first power rankings, excuse me, I said in the first power rankings, I said if the DC Defenders, so we're in this together, I said if they aren't, you know, the favorite early on, I mean, I'm a big Thin Mints guy, and they're going to be coming out with Girl Scout cookies in a few months. I said, if they aren't at the top by the end of the year, I'll eat two boxes instead of three this year. And I'm sticking by that.
Instead of one. All right. You're a Thin Mints guy, huh?
Big Thin Mints guy. I mean, I mow through those boxes pretty quickly. I don't know about you, but.
No. I love a Thin Mint. I'm more of a Samoa guy. I'm a big coconut fan. I don't know if it's about me as a human being, but maybe bad things, maybe good things. Who knows? I did discover recently that these Girl Scout cookies come from two different, and this is Debo. I was like, how is this happening? How is he on a Girl Scout cookie tangent? But they come from two different manufacturers. Did you realize that? So like sometimes you get different Thin Mints in different parts of the country, and sometimes you get, like what they're called, Samoas, or the, there's another name for them too.
Like okay. I didn't know it was two manufacturers, but I just recently had, because, you know, Thin Mints will come up this time of year in conversation plenty. But having a conversation about how in different regions, I guess they have different names. And I just assumed it was a regional, kind of like Sports Illustrated doing, you know, regional cover here, regional cover there.
It is. Okay. I think it's sort of like that. Like one of them is like covered in a layer of chocolate fudge, right? Or like, or dark or milk chocolate, whatever it is. And that one's delicious. And the other one is like just a cookie with mint flavor.
Really? Okay, then I've never had the one that's not covered in fudge, I think.
Maybe they're both covered in fudge, but one has a thicker – I'm looking at the – like ABC Bakers does one that's not as thick. Like, so for instance, they do Samoas or Caramel Delights.
Okay.
Different ones. And like the Samoas have more caramel, more dark chocolate, and more coconut, whereas the Caramel I'm big into Girl Scout cookies too. So.
Okay, sweet. Well, I'm sorry to, you know –
No. This is a delightful tangent.
Okay.
A caramel delightful tangent. I'll see myself out. All right. So if you're putting DC on one side, and I agree with you, I think they're the best team, the most complete team. Not that they're the most explosive offense, but they can run the ball. They can pass it. Cardale Jones is clearly can push the ball, down the field. What about on the, I guess it's the other side of the bracket, so to speak. What do you think about, is it clearly Houston that's the best team on the other side?
Yeah. And I think, again, it comes down to the quarterback. I mean, kind of the hot MVP candidate, if you will, after 2 weeks, I think is PJ Walker, their quarterback, former Indianapolis Colts prospect. And, you know, he hasn't been, you know, quite as accurate as, I guess, the most accurate quarterback. I know we're only talking about, you know, less than a dozen guys here, but still, when he's making plays, I mean, he's the athlete of the quarterbacks. And so, you know, the XFL was right to compare. I think he had, you know, a touchdown pass just this past weekend, looked a lot like a Patrick Mahomes sidearm, and they're right to compare it to that. I mean, he's been the most fun, I'd say, of the quarterbacks to watch, and he's not just been fun, but he's been productive. And so, yeah, that's the biggest reason for Houston being, I think, you know, one of those top two, three surefire contenders.
The other quarterback who's looked pretty good, Jordan Te'amu, he actually ended up with more fantasy points than Philip Walker, threw three touchdown passes to Cam Phillips on Sunday night. But Te'amu, I mean, like, it does feel like there's more star power with these quarterbacks, or like it's more watchable quarterback play than we got in the AAF. Do you agree or disagree?
Definitely. I think actually the biggest thing that differentiated it for me, even from the first weekend, I mean, after watching the AAF, I remember one of the biggest talking points was how poor the offensive line play was, and not just the quarterback play, but, you know, remembering how important it is to just be able to have those, unglorified, you know, the unceremonious positions filled out properly. And I think I was pleasantly surprised. I mean, watching DC, the first game of the first weekend, It was competent enough where the quarterback could drop back and he's not getting, you know, walloped every play. And so it was that alone, I think, has allowed these guys like Cardale Jones. Obviously, it's not helping Matt McGloin enough, but it's
funny you should mention Matt McGloin.
Yeah.
We actually have audio of him. He joined friend of the show, Diana Rossini, on the XFL sideline. This is like the best thing about the XFL is that Matt McGloin like rips coaching or like rip like the game plan, and then he gets benched, and then he has to do an interview after he's been benched while he's standing on the sidelines and he's watching his backup who came in to play, and just sitting there watching him like you've been benched and you have to give an interview. It is pretty glorious.
Yeah, I think.
This is the first one.
To get something going here.
We need to change the whole entire game plan at halftime.
What do you need to change about the game plan? What are you frustrated about?
There's just a lot going on right out now. It's embarrassing for us here as an offense. So a lot of things we want to fix and correct.
Thanks.
I mean, he said that to Rossini. And look, he was enthusiastic and he gave that. And then he actually got benched. He's like, we need to change a bunch of stuff. And the coaches are like, okay, Matt, we're changing this. You've been benched.
Oh yeah, I think that was, I mean, apparent right from week one, and obviously, you know, the broadcast teams, they're all still trying to figure this out, how to make it work. But I think aside from it just being more entertaining than the AAF, a thing that they have even a leg up on the NFL is just this transparency, this raw, you know, you see it with the replay officials, you see it with the quarterbacks. And the weird thing too is that, you know, I just thought of it now when you're replaying that clip, you know, if this were a Patrick Mahomes in the NFL, we're probably not going to get that. You almost have to have a quarterback of Matt McGloin's caliber. Nothing against Matt McGloin, but to be in those dire circumstances to even get a quote like that. I mean, it's almost like you need some of that disparity in the talent level to get these guys' frustrations, you know, expressed. Because otherwise it's going to be behind the PR machine. Patrick Mahomes is never going to have to say that because he's good enough to avoid situations like that. But yeah, certainly I think that was a highlight of at least the broadcast team. I don't know how Matt McGloin feels about it now, but
I would guess it was not a not a highlight for him. And by the way, so they are these teams confuse me. Whenever I look at is he on Dallas? Is that right?
He no. is New York. New He's York Guardians.
Okay, yeah. So New York plays at St. Louis this week. And the reason I bring that up is that St. Louis is not terrible defensively, but they've given up 18.5 points per game. And I actually think Marquise Williams is a very interesting AAF quarterback because of his mobility and the things you can do with an offense that maybe you can't do with Matt McGloin. So I'll be curious. I think Marquise Williams, do you think they'll go, if they announce, are they going to go back to McGloin, go forward with Marquise Williams? Do you know what they're going to do there?
I mean, I think that they'd be crazy not to consider going to Marquise Williams, and mainly because, you know, it's not all Matt McGloin's fault because of the offensive line, the play calling. But then again, I mean, he had opportunities. He had wide open targets. But bigger than that, if the offensive line is shaky, if they want to get a spark, I mean, Marquise Williams at least brings a little something to the ground. And that's something that Matt McGloin he can't do. I mean, if he can extend the play a little bit, and I'm talking about Marquise Williams, I think it's worth going to him. I mean, I would say, again, these are short. It's going to go fast, the season. I mean, you're already 20% of the way through the regular season. I think they're going to be forced to make a decision there. And honestly, I don't think the rope is that long for Matt McGloin.
Yeah, and if I called him an AAF quarterback, what I meant was interesting AAF quarterback. I don't know if anybody's going to give me a pass on that one. But I really do. Like, Marquise Williams led Carolina to a freaking ACC title against Clemson and had him on the ropes with Larry Fedora. Like, I think – to me, he is an interesting guy that they should consider looking at. What criticisms would you have for the league thus far?
Well, it's tough. I mean, obviously, everyone wants to go on, I guess, about the quarterbacks and how, you know, that's going to be a struggle. But that's, I mean, we've been over this. I guess the NFL doesn't, you know, they struggle with fielding enough good, let alone great quarterbacks. And so that's one thing. But I guess it's really just, can you sustain this over the course of 10 weeks and then not even that, but beyond the season? I mean, we've seen, I guess, the attendance can vary depending on the markets. And I think the biggest thing is when you've got the big markets like New York struggling, especially with the talent they have at quarterback or lack thereof, I mean, that's really where you know, Seattle's another one possibly. Los Angeles, I mean, they've looked pretty bad, especially defensively. They're trying to capitalize on markets that are also, you know, touting NFL teams. I think the biggest question mark, and I don't even know if I have a solution for it, is do you have enough talent to draw fans not only for one weekend, one Saturday, but say, hey, I've learned to love this guy. I want to watch him next year. Mm. And then the bittersweet part of it is, if they're that good, you know, let's say a PJ Walker, he's the MVP. He might not even be there next year. I mean, unless he really views himself as wanting to just be the face of the XFL, I mean, he might want to go back to Colts training camp and compete for the backup job. That's going to be a tough part, and that's true for any developmental league.
No, that's a good point. I mean, I think like anybody who is playing at a high level in this league, and you know, we touched on this with Brady Quinn a few weeks ago, but you know, the interviews are really great because you do, like, even if it backfires in Matt McGloin's face, you get to see a lot of like a lot of personality on the sidelines very quickly. Like, it was Anthony Johnson who, you know, again, Dianne Rossini was asking him about, you know, he had to fly in like the night before on a red eye, and the coaches were like, oh, we don't need to play this much. He's like, no, I'll play whatever you need me to. She's like, so do you recline or like, do you not recline? Yeah. Like, oh, you can't recline. What are you talking about? Get the seat out of me. I just think like that aspect of it is just fascinating. And, you know, you get a guy like Philip Walker who plays really well, you know, boosts his sort of public persona by being the face of the XFL. It's hard not to imagine him getting a job in the NFL. In fact, I think the NFL will encourage its teams to look to a guy like Philip Walker and say, hey, you know, sign this guy because we do want this to be a developmental league.
Yeah, and I do think, you know, as cliche as it may sound, I know the XFL has been trying to run with this catchphrase, you know, for the love of football. Like, a lot of these guys are just – they're playing because they want to play the game. But I think, you know, if you watch these locker room celebrations and these huddles and these – I mean, you're getting the mics and seeing these players – it certainly, to me, doesn't look like these guys are just, oh, I'm here just because I have to be to try and get to the NFL. Like, a lot of these guys, you know, unless they're playing for, I guess, the Tampa Bay Vipers and Mark Trestman, you know, they seem excited. They seem like, oh, we're going to go have fun in the locker room afterward. And I think there is, you know, we see that in sports. That's why a lot of people are drawn to sports. There's kind of that brotherhood, that unity. And it does sound kind of like, I don't know, like a Disney movie or something, but I think part of it is true, and I think that's, you know, when you have guys that are at least talented enough to put some kind of an entertaining product on the field, that's helping the fans too.
Yeah, don't start any Tampa Bay Vipers in fantasy.
No, definitely not. I would say that if you want to bet on one thing after, you know, listening to this podcast, I mean, I don't know. The early odds makers, I think were buying into the Tampa Bay Vipers, and I don't know if that's because Mark Trestman has had success in leagues other than the NFL, but I think we've been reminded pretty quickly why Mark Trestman maybe isn't coaching in the NFL right now. And I think it doesn't really matter who's under center for them, Aaron Murray, Quentin Flowers, you know, anyone. I think if you're going to bet one thing, it's that you should take the team that's playing the Vipers.
You did. You wrote about the Vipers over under win total was 7.5.
Yeah, it was honestly, I was really surprised when I saw that. I was, you know, because I was just looking, I guess it was a superficial look by me to look at, you know, which names do I recognize on these rosters? And looking at Tampa Bay, you know, they had Antonio Callaway, I think, was their biggest name, and he's not playing at all. I mean, he got hurt before the season. Other than that, I mean, I guess it was really just convincing yourself that Mark Trestman was going to be creative enough, and instead we get, you know, a 13-play drive that ends, you know, they're at the 1-yard line and they can't punch it in. So I think, yeah, I mean, Tampa Bay is not very inspiring to me. I think it's going to be tough for them to even approach 500.
Yeah, they've got 12 points this season. So maybe something over under at like 75 points. I mean, it's just 7.5 wins, more like 75 points. What do you think about these matchups in week 3? On Saturday, we have Houston at Tampa Bay. Houston, the best offensive team so far in the XFL. They are 5.5-point favorites at Tampa Bay, the worst offensive team in the league so far. And then Dallas at Seattle, a nice little matchup in the afternoon on Saturday. Anything pique your interest in terms of players who might break out or the totals or even just the lines there?
The totals this week seem a little more reasonable to me, but I think if you're leaning one way, I mean, I'd say they're still a little bit inflated. I mean, just points have been hard to come by for some of these teams.
45.5 for Houston, Tampa Bay, 44 for Dallas and Seattle.
Yeah, I think I would go under on both of those, to be honest. And then as far as the just picking the games, I mean, Houston, that I think they're 5.5 point favorites against the Vipers. I think that's pretty low, even on the road. I would go with Houston all the way there. And then Dallas going to Seattle. I know everyone maybe is a little bit more up on Landry Jones after how he finished, even though he started, you know, I didn't think he frankly looked to be in great football shape to start that game. But Dallas going to Seattle, I think the Dragons, Jim Zorn's team have, an underrated defense a little bit. So that'd be close. I'd almost lean with the home team there. Mm. As far as, and then I also
Dallas didn't. I thought I egged on DFS last week because I thought everybody would be on Philip Walker and Cardale Jones, and I pivoted a little bit to Landry Jones instead of I should have gone to Teamu, but Landry Jones didn't really impress. You know, they actually don't they have Cameron Artis Payne running the ball for him, who looked good?
Yeah. To be honest, no, I agree with you about Landry Jones though too. I think a little bit of a disappointment from the guys who were maybe supposed to be, you know, Josh Johnson and Landry Jones have been kind of talked up as, or coming into the season, you know, these most experienced guys with NFL resumes. I mean, frankly, they've both been pretty disappointing. It's been, you know, and Cardale Jones is a big name, you know, coming from the NFL, but still, him and, you know, PJ Walker, you know, Teamu, those have been the guys that have been stars, but,
Actually, this is so we have some CBS Sports. You have to get RJ White to share these with you. RJ has, unless you already have them, then don't worry about it. But RJ's been compiling team stats for proprietary CBS Sports. Have you gotten a hold of these?
Oh yeah. We've been. It's as if I think Brett Anderson, another one of our NFL editors. I think we were joking the other day. We've kind of become like 1980s statisticians because we're compiling the individual stats, and RJ's been going even more with the team stats.
You've got the individual stats?
We've been doing at least stat leaders, so like the top 10, 15, 20 guys. And with a new league, I mean, you can't really find these totals
everywhere. There's nothing anywhere. You can't – XFL doesn't have them. But the Dragons, the Seattle Dragons, lead the XFL in tackles for a loss percentage, 16.7% of their runs equated to a tackle for a loss, and they only allow 3.48 yards per carry in the run game. So I would caution people who saw how great Cameron Artis Payne was, how great the Dallas run game was. I think you might be right, Kurt. You might be onto a little upset here. What about on Sunday, the Guardians, huge dogs, 9.5 point dogs, at the Battle Hawks, over under 40.5, gross. And then my DC Defenders at the Los Angeles Wildcats, DC -8, over under 44. Anything there pique your interest?
Yeah, I mean, on Sunday, I think to me the biggest thing that the 9-point line for the Guardians game. I mean, I don't think the Guardians can be much worse offensively than they were, especially if they go with Marquise Williams for a little bit, but. I think to me that really just says that the odds makers are starting to believe already that St. Louis is one of those top 2-3 contenders. I still might lean under there just because the Battlehawks have done really well on the ground. And so if we're thinking they're going to go up on New York, I mean, they're probably just going to keep it on the ground. I don't know if it's going to be a high scoring game either way. And then the last game, D.C., I mean, I'm going with DC. I think there's no better chance, really. I mean, statistically right now, Cardale Jones should have another great performance against that Wildcats defense. And I would go over there. That's probably the one game out of the weekend where I'd probably go over just because DC is capable of scoring, you know, 25 to 30 points there. And, you know, if it's a rout by the end of the game, I think LA could put up a last minute score or two. So I'd go with over on that one.
And by the way, unders are 6-2 to the under so far on the season for the XFL. I got a little something for you here. What about this? Go, you either do six, I guess you do six. You might want to do 7-point teaser, an XFL teaser. This is delightful. A 6-point XFL teaser, Defenders -2. Houston is a pick. You got to risk 110 to win 100. But DC should win by two, right? They got to beat LA by two.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I'd be shocked. That'd be probably the upset of, I mean, we're only 3 weeks in, but that'd be an upset of the year probably.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I mean, there'd be a 3-1 upset, basically, LA in there. So I think a little DC Defender Houston teaser. If you put that in, you play that teaser, go ahead and tweet me a screenshot of it. Make me feel good when that thing hits. First game on Saturday, last game on Sunday. All right, give us one maybe one you got any sleepers this weekend? Anybody you like that might that you I mean, and if you don't have one, it's fine. I've got a couple of guys I'm sort of looking at just in terms of like and Nelson Spruce, not a sleeper. Like he's blown up 2 weeks in a row. He has a huge target share. We've seen him for LA. You know, he's had 24 targets in the first 2 weeks, which is ridiculous. Anybody that you think could maybe have a surprising breakout week this week?
I mean, a couple of guys at quarterback. Obviously, we know there's a gap there. It would be a risk, but if you're looking for like a diamond in the rough, I would go with maybe Brandon Silvers. He's going to be at home. He's been, you know, he's inaccurate, but he's got that gunslinger mentality. They're going to be back home. We talked about how Dallas is a little bit underwhelming. I think he could, you know, chuck it up. And similarly, I think Austin Prohl there at wide receiver, kind of due for a rebound. He started really well in week one, looked like maybe, you know, the best receiver in the league, kind of breaking out, and then was really quiet last week. Another guy at receiver, I'd look at maybe DeAndre Tompkins, really emerged for DC last week. Looks like a guy that Cardale Jones is, you know, going to be targeting a lot. And if you're looking at running back, I mean, strictly based off usage, I mean, Matt Jones, the former Redskins running back, I mean, he's getting the carries. He's not necessarily averaging a ton, but he's getting the carries. And then Seattle, they've got two guys that have already 16 or more carries. And then their third guy, Trey Williams, has done a little bit in the passing game. So if you want to, yeah, I know that's a grab bag there at running back, but if you're looking for a sleeper, I'd say maybe look at Seattle.
No, I think and I like that Matt Jones call. He's 7,500 on DraftKings. But they are against New York in New York, according to, again, our proprietary stats, giving up 4.5 yards per carry. You know, and you're talking about a game, too, where, you know, New York is a 9.5-point underdog. So, in theory, Seattle is up big and pounding the ball there. I love the Tompkins call. He's only 5,700. And last week he saw 9 targets from Cardale Jones. If he's healthy, he'll be a big factor. Guy who's a little bit more expensive, but I think flying under the radar a little bit, even though he caught a touchdown, DeMorne Pearson-L for St. Louis. He had 11 targets, 9 catches, 50 yards, and a score last week. People will probably get off him a bit because, like, I think Nelson Spruce will be really heavily owned again. Maybe you can avoid him since he's against DC, but it's hard to. And then again, I like Marquise Williams as a quarterback sleeper this week. Man, I'm way too excited about this XFL.
You gonna get a Marquise Williams jersey if he starts?
No, that would he is a Carolina player. That would be like you getting a Cowboys jersey.
Okay, maybe Byron Jones if he comes over to the Eagles.
Byron Jones if he goes to the Eagles. Yeah, I mean also like. So Marquise Williams is on. He's like, I guess, are New York and DC rivals? I would think they are. The XFL.
I suppose so. I mean, I don't think we don't. We're not. We're too early to call a rival so far. But yeah, I guess you could say that regionally.
Yeah, regional rivals, and yeah, he played for Carolina, so I can't do that. But I am a Marquise Williams fan. And look, before Marquise Williams, before Mr. Trubisky, there was Marquise Williams. Okay, Cody Benjamin. You can follow him on Twitter at Cody J Benjamin. Give us. Oh, by the way, give us your grade for at the XFL in week two and a pre-grade, like what you expect from the XFL in week three.
Oh boy. Honestly, if I were to just looking back to compare to week one, I think the XFL would probably get like a B from me just because it was a surprisingly competent offensive line, surprisingly fun games. It was our first time kind of seeing that transparent broadcast, the new kickoff, all that stuff. I think it was a little bit, you know, less this week. Maybe just because we saw the disparity in quarterback play a little bit more. I thought, you know, Landry Jones, the big anticipated debut, same thing for Josh Johnson. They weren't very good really until certain points in the game. We got a legitimate game on Sunday night. I know it sounds like a cop out to go right in the middle, but I'd say maybe C+. But I still think overall that's probably okay for where the XFL is at. I mean, week two, as long as you're not in the tubes and as long as the quarterbacks aren't, you know, We've got, like, it's kind of a 50-50 split, really, between the eight teams as far as teams with watchable quarterbacks, watchable teams. I don't know. I think we're at a decent spot. I'm going to be really interested to see, you know, when it comes time for the championship game in April. I think people will tune in for that. I mean, especially if we get, you know, let's say it's a
DC and Houston.
Yeah, I mean, that, I think that'd be a fun watch. I mean, you know, I think people would tune in, and maybe that draws some more interest from not only players but fans for next year.
No, I think you're right. All right, Cody, this is a fun chat. We'll have to do it again soon. Thanks for joining the pod, and keep up the awesome work in the XFL.
Hey, thanks a lot. Go get yourself a box of Thin Mints.
The hit Paramount Plus original docuseries returns.
The last time I saw Max, he looked at us laughing, and then everything changed in a blink of an eye.
My feeling as a detective is that he was murdered.
Yahoo Entertainment calls it a spine-chilling docuseries showcasing real-life tragedies.
What if it was your child who went missing?
We need to know the truth.
Never seen again. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.